الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون، صدق الله العلي العظيم. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity once again to congregate. Rest assured, us being here is nothing new, and the information that we are to share is nothing new at all. In fact, if one was to summarize a Friday sermon, for the most part, it is the same thing that is repeated time and time over again, however, with certain differences just here and there. But as far as the sermons are concerned, the information that you and I are to gather is essentially the same thing repeated over and over. Be good in your commandments, be good in following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be good in following the prophetic chain, including that of the final messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. However, there are certain things that inhibit our growth. And you will notice that this is what generally we always talk about, eliminating that which reduces our spiritual growth as well as our social growth, so that we can become the very best, and as a result of becoming the very best, appreciate not only our existence but facilitate growth in our society and community as well. If one was to look at Muslim behavior, alhamdulillah, we are truly blessed as people. When we look at each individual, we are reminded that we are far more kind than we give our credit and give ourselves credit for. If you look at the average person in America, especially the average Muslim, he is very good as an employee. He is very good at times as an employer, more so when he hires non-Muslims under his or her care. The individual is magnificent in as far as making contributions are concerned, not necessarily just to masjids, but in money that they send back to their family members, whether it is uncles, aunts, mothers, cousins. When it comes to our obligations, even though we may not pray always in the masjid, but we try and pray as best as we can at our homes, especially if Allah has bestowed us with children, then we try to make a point of at least showing them some form of religiosity or the other. This is a fact, this is a reality. All these good things that we do, they have an effect. As I mention always, when you drive in rain, it has an effect. When you drive with lousy brakes, it has an effect. Hopefully it wouldn't be too devastating upon you or myself. But regardless, everything we do has an effect. Likewise, all these good things that we do also have an effect. And the effect is that of nur, that of light that permeates the body, permeates the heart, permeates the mind, and it creates some form of guilt in the sense that it sometimes minimizes us from doing that which is incorrect. This is a reality. That is why you will notice that when you come to the masjid, even though no one talks to you, there is an aura that is present. In fact, non-Muslims come to this masjid a lot, and there are some non-Muslims that come here regularly just to meditate during certain hours of the week. I've seen them, they come here, they meditate, and they go away. So I ask them from time to time, why do you do this? You are not a Muslim. It seems like you don't even intend to become a Muslim. Why is it that you come here? And this is what they tell us: I get a special spiritual connection. And as a result of that spiritual bonding, I feel good about myself, and I feel good about the various nationalities that exist out there. One person even told me that he used to come here maybe at least two Fridays a month. And
It changed the way in which he perceives other individuals, whether it is blacks, whether it is whites, whether it is browns, whoever it may be. And I asked him, how did it change your perception? He says, when I used to come here, I just used to look at the diversity. And I used to ask myself, this aspect of diversity has to be as a result of a phenomenon that I cannot comprehend. And I firmly believe that there is a spiritual vibe coming from the top. There is a, in other words, from the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a spirituality that is descending. And the spirituality is so powerful that it is blending individuals of various nationalities, backgrounds, financial dispositions, etc., and getting them together. Now, we all know that we are here, alhamdulillah, and no individual here will call himself or herself a racist. In fact, if you look at the seating patterns, individuals are walking in and they are seating. They are not saying, well, I've got to sit next to my buddy. In fact, sometimes if you observe, and this brother observed, this non-Muslim who used to come here observed, that a man will walk in, he'll greet someone on the far left. For example, in that case, wherever it is, the left, for me it'll be this way, for you it'll be that way, regardless. He will greet someone, and regardless of him greeting someone of his or her own nationality, for example, if you're a woman upstairs, the individual will sit next to someone that is totally different from themselves. Sometimes economically, sometimes through racial profiling or racial backgrounds, etc. The question is, what is bonding? And the answer is very simple. It is the nur of Allah that we are linking ourselves towards, and as a result of that link, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating a bind between the various groups of individuals, various people, etc. Again, now we move on to the next boundary. Before we move on there, we can realize that nur is a type of spirituality that comes into the body when a person does profound levels of good. So then the question is, where is that nur when we leave? Because we leave this area, and once we leave this area, we have prejudice again that comes in. We have racism again that comes in. We have financial superiorities that come in. I am better than you, or you are better than me. Or I am more superior to you, or you are more superior than me. My nationality is greater than you, or your nationality is greater than me. This is something that comes about. Nur is something that is like water. Nur is something that is like water. For those of you that may be our guests, or those that are our younger individuals over here, you may wonder now, what is nur? Nur is a special light. It's a special light that is not tangible. It is a type of kefir, a type of feeling that fills up the body with the greater level of good you do. That means the greater level of good, the greater the feeling. The more evil you do, the worse the feeling. There comes a time when Allah says, now do whatever you want to do and become amongst those that are wretched in nature. Regardless, a king will show you his bank balance. A wealthy person will show you his bank balance. A poor person to become eligible for certain zakah or charities will show you his or her bank balance. So you can see, as far as financial disposition is concerned, this is where so and so stands. As far as nur is concerned, the ulama have stated, the way we find it in a person is through the actions of that individual. Higher the nur is like higher the voltage. Higher the voltage, the more you can do. Lower the voltage, chances are the machine may not work. Likewise, lower the nur in an individual means lower the good deeds of that person. And as you lessen the good deeds, and as you backbite, as you gossip, as you slander, as you do wrong things, the voltage goes lower and lower to the point wherein you become self-destructive. That is why self-destruction in reality in Islam is a person letting go of good, defending haram, defending wrong, and thereafter expecting the mercy of Allah to come upon that person. The Quran says it very beautifully, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. The person that wants that spiritual charge or spiritual voltage. Now you'll wonder, how is spiritual charge and spiritual voltage related? I never thought about the word spiritual charge or spiritual voltage before I came here. I never thought about it. But while I was talking to you, that thought came into me. Now, I may wonder how that thought comes. Someone will say, wow, this guy is very smart. He just creates thinking as he goes. No, no, no. That's not the idea. You are here, I am here. There is a connection that is taking part between the both of us. Shaitan is intercepting that. Shaitan is intercepting that. How does Shaitan intercept it? By the following. What is he saying? Is he referring to me or my people? Oh, well, I'm an electrical engineer and he's using the word voltage. Maybe he heard of my divorce case last week. Brother, personally, whatever I hear of, it comes from here, it comes out from there. Once the issue is resolved, I move on with my life and you move on with your life. I don't have time to sort of catalog every individual's thinking. I have problems too that I have to resolve, you know, not only you. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is something very simple. We are taking part in a type of interaction between ourselves. The ulama have stated, when you are truly a pious person and a person that links himself to Allah as much as he can, what ends up happening is the link between me and you become reduced and the link between me and the Creator becomes stronger. And as the link between the person and the Creator becomes stronger, the people in the environment either begin to like you or alternatively begin to go against you. Once an individual realizes this aspect and lives his or her life in the manner that Allah desires, this individual becomes a person that is taqwa oriented. Now the question is, what is taqwa in its truest sense? And we define it differently every time. Let's say, for example, you have a person that fixes dents in a car. What do you call it? Panel beaters. Auto body guys. Or what they probably use a technical name. Anybody knows the technical name? Denter. MashaAllah. He just took the word and just put the ER in there. I like that. So, do you have a dent in your car? And the guy that fixes probably a denter. No problem. Wonderful. Only a mad person will keep on smashing his car and thereafter say, I have a person next door to me that fixes cars, so what I will do, I will continue taking my car to the person and he will continue fixing it every time I dent it. So this person, as he or she drives, they keep on playing bumping cars on the road because they feel, you know what, it's no big deal that I do it because the person next door to me is a person that fixes cars all the time and I'll just take my car to that person and that person will fix it. Yet, if you look at the average Muslim, this is the exact same way he or she thinks. This is the way we think. I'll go to the masjid and I will put $5 in the sadaqah box so that money will be given to the poor and automatically I will be redeemed. Or alternatively, I will give a smile because the hadith is very beautiful. It says, smiling is charity. So what I'll do, I have $1 million, but I won't give it to the masjid. What I'll do, I'll give my charity to smiling because smiling is enough. No. Taqwa demands you do the right thing at the right time, at the right place, at the right moment. That's the one of the definitions of taqwa. And taqwa also means you will not exploit a given situation and you will do the right thing at right time. For example, it's just like a person that goes to a doctor and the doctor says, well, you have a burn over here, no problem, here's an ointment, and you put this ointment on your hand and you become good. So what this guy does is, he buys a box of it, he puts it on his whole body and he jumps in the fire. Now you will say this person is really a loony. I mean, that's the reality, because you know, sometimes I think people are that way. You know, I'm sure there is someone out there, if you give them a burnt ointment, they'll go and put their hand in the fire thereafter. Now we laugh at this person and we call this person a loony. But this is the exact thing that you and I are doing. We come to the masjid, we make istighfar, we ask Allah for forgiveness, and yet when we come out of here, we go back to our regular lifestyle of self-destruction and self-hurt and self-animosity. Allama Sarri Sakti, rahimahumullah, a great scholar from the past, And Imam Ghazali makes mention of him through the Arabic text of Ihya'ul Ulum. And he mentions something magnificent that each individual over here can relate to in some form or the other. And he says the following: when Allah becomes displeased with a person, when Allah is sending down His wrath upon an individual, there are three things that take place. When you look at the words of this individual, it is brilliant in nature. Even though me and you may be sinners, Allah will give us three things, and at the same time, Allah will deprive us of three things. Now we have to reflect upon ourselves when we look at this given statement of Allama Sarisati, this great individual of the past. Allah will give you the company of the pious. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you the benefit of that pious individual. Now examine your lives. Many of you have mothers that may be very good. Many of you may have had teachers that are very good. Many of you that may have had friends or have friends that are very pious in nature. One of the attributes of your negativity, of my negativity, is that you'll be able to turn a pious person into a person that loves the world. That is the reality. In fact, if you were to examine scholars in America, tragically, you can topple them in a matter of few years. That's why I was talking to a professor at a university. He says, I don't fear the Muslim scholars anymore. I said, how come? He said, it is very simple. You give me any scholar for 3 years, I will topple him to become like me, but yet he will dress like you, if not more pious than you. Anyway, coming back to this issue, in other words, you must change the mind of a person, and once you topple that person, the person will give the outcome of religiosity, but you topple that person's heart system. Anyway, Allama Sarisati says the following: Allah will grant a person three things and snatch away three things when Allah is displeased. One is, He will make you sit in the company of a pious person, and He will want you to deprive that individual of his piety. And definitely, as far as you are concerned, you will not be able to get the maximum benefit of that given individual. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the ability to do good deeds, whether it is to come to Friday prayer, whether it is to give donations, whether it is to talk of good things. However, Allah will deprive you of the sincerity of that given deed. That means you are here right now. Physically we are here, but mentally where are we? Physically we are here, but what are we thinking about as you come out from this place? So, we are doing a good deed, but as far as the sincerity of it is concerned, it will lapse. It will lapse. Also, you will see a pious person sometimes, and the pious person cannot take criticism. That person becomes defensive. That person, how do you know if a person is defensive? He does a good deed, a wonderful deed, but you say, my brother, this is not the way you do it. This is the alternative way you do it under this condition. And what the person says, Allah is my judge. Of course Allah is the judge. Who's denying that? So basically, by you making that statement, you showed your piety at that point. In other words, you are not what you are claiming to be. So the ulama have stated that one is to do good deeds, the other is to be sincere in that given deed. This shows that you are not being deprived. But when you lack sincerity, it shows that you are being deprived. Before I continue to the third point, the Quran says it very beautifully, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً نُسْقِيكُمْ فِي بُطُونٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created cattle, and in this case, He has created also the cow. When you examine the cow, there is an ibrah from it, there is a lesson we can learn from it. نُسْقِيكُمْ كَمْ فَمْ سَقِيَ يَسْقَى has to do with quenching. نُسْقِيكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمِ الْنَبَنَ. As far as the cow is concerned, you are quenched from its stomach. Its stomach is such that it has all types of things in it. It has blood, it has excreta, it has filth, it has multiple things in it. However, وَدَمِ اللَّبَنِ الْخَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes out a thing that is very pure from a stomach that may be viewed as impure. And the thing that is produced from it has a high level of benefit to humanity. In fact, children that are deprived from milk, they sometimes are deprived from other nutrients as well. Without going into the chemical composition of milk, we realize that it produces tremendous amount of benefit. But where is this benefit coming from? It's coming from a stomach that is grinding up grass that may have impurities near it, associated with it, and the list goes on. The cow consumes it, puts it in the stomach, there is blood, there is excreta, there are various things that are mixing in the stomach, but yet the thing that comes out is milk, something that is of benefit of everyone over here. The ulama derived from Sunan Imam Ghazali makes this point in the Halalul, that we must become pure like this milk. And once you become pure like this milk in the good things that you do, you can be said thereafter that you are amongst those individuals that are genuinely sincere. Ask yourself, you are here today, ask yourself, when you help someone, what am I doing it for? I'm doing a good deed, but am I sincere in this given good deed or not? A third thing, the ulama state, is that an individual will have a lot of wisdom, a lot of brilliance. The person will have a lot of knowledge. The person will ask such questions, he will spin your head. Now, ulama state, this person will be so brilliant that he'll make a scholar sit at the textbooks all night trying to figure out a response to that given question that he has asked. He has tremendous, or she has tremendous amount of wisdom. But when it comes to fulfilling the applicability or the reality of that wisdom and that knowledge, that person cannot do it. When you cannot fulfill the rights of that answer or the rights of your knowledge, the ulama have stated, understand, in reality, you may think you are brilliant, but in reality, you are a person that is despised. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. These individuals, the Quran says they are like animals. Then the Quran says بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. No, they are not like animals, they are even worse. Because they have everything, but they lack one thing. They lack the spiritual link between themselves and the Creator. And as a result of the lack of that spiritual link, they are making everything they do become devoid. Again, I'll go through this list very, very shortly for those of you that came late. When Allah becomes displeased with a person, He gives him three things and takes away and snatches away three things. One of them, He will make you be amongst the pious and the good, but you will never derive benefit from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the strength of doing good deeds, but the sincerity of that will be lacked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a tremendous amount of knowledge, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you the practical applicability or the good nature of fulfilling the obligations of that which you have learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tremendously, and also we sincerely ask Him to prevent us from falling under the wrath of this given statement. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Also, Brother Bashir has requested, and Dr. Iqbal has called me regarding this, that we should make dua for his mother, and our duty is to make dua for every individual out there, every individual's mother, because if we wish others well, then we are indirectly also wishing ourselves well. I can say directly by wishing ourselves well as well. So if we pray for other people's parents, then inshallah, Allah will give our parents and our families tremendous amount of good. Also, there was another brother's name. I forget, anyone knows the other brother's name? Khosar. Yes, brother. Khosar. Khosar Khan.
Uncle Shah.
Brother Shah's uncle is also not in a very good condition, and there is a request that we make dua for him as well. As I always say, my brothers, and don't take this personally, it is not good for us to limit ourselves to only ask others to pray for us. The most superior thing we can do in life, this is a subtle point, the most superior thing we can do in life is do good deeds. When you do good deeds, people pray for you and I without us even asking. Become a contribution to humanity, and people will say, what a wonderful person. When people say, what a wonderful person, automatically you are getting the praise of thousands of people. And when you do bad things, you can beg me for prayers, but you know the reality of what that prayer will be. So therefore, by doing good things, we elevate our position in the eyes of Allah. And once we do that, we attain tremendous amount of good. So of course we will pray, and it's our duty to pray for everyone out there. But even more important than that is for us to do good things so we can attain the goodness of that which surrounds us.
Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.